Log Talk Radio.
Of the interesting days today, those of you who took chemistry, you're probably cursing this guy. Antoine Lavoisier was born today in 1743. He's the father of modern chemistry. Those of us who are in radio have to praise and remember Lee DeForest. He invented the vacuum tube, the radio vacuum tube. Those are said to be much more efficient and greater fidelity, easier to replace than a transistor or some of the other things that we see today and what's become throwaway once these transistors and things go out in these modern appliances and radio, TV, it becomes disposable. With the vacuum tube, if the tube went out, you just replace the tube. Those of you who saw the movie A Bridge Too Far, and it was General James Gavin and Maxwell Taylor was in that. His birthday today. He was one of the fathers of the wanted to bring back the conventional army during the Kennedy administration. Was a great friend or was a connection to the Robert Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy named one of his sons Maxwell or Taylor. So see The Bridge Too Far, which was about Field Marshal Bernard Montgomery's plan to capture the bridges over the Rhine, and he thought that would shortened the war in Europe by 6 months or more. But the last bridge, they got all the bridges except the one in Arnhem. They didn't pay attention to intelligence reports. They sent out equipment that didn't work. It's a typical arrogance and military blundering. They were warned that the radios didn't work. They didn't follow the intelligence that a German panzer division was refitting there. And as the people, soldiers were parachuting out of the airplanes, the Germans were just shooting them like ducks coming out of the flying over the sky. So it's a great movie, long movie, a lot of actors in it, highly recommend it. Also among the writers, this is one of the gay writers, a homosexual writer, Christopher Isherwood. He is the author, he's the inspiration for Cabaret. This was about Weimar Germany, all the things that went on there, and Judy Garland's daughter was in it, Liza Minnelli. It's quite a film, and it depicts the decadent life of Weimar Germany before Hitler. Also today, one of the controversies about inoculation is raging here in San Francisco and in California, where kids have to be inoculated before they can go attend public school. Well, one of the inventors of vaccines was Dr. Albert Sabin. He invented one of the polio vaccines. He was born today. Also, the editor of the Washington Post, he married Sally, I forgot her last name, that's how good a journalist she was. She used to work for CBS. Anyway, he's probably famous or infamous for the Watergate papers and Deep Throat. Bernstein and Woodward claimed that this FBI agent was the source of the leaks. However, FBI agents don't have jurisdiction in the White House, and security concerns and responsibilities are with the U.S. Marine Corps. So how would that FBI agent who died conveniently, then they revealed who he was, how could he have had access to the safes and other secured material without the Marine Corps knowing it, who was responsible for security in the White House? And the story and the information that I get from my sources is that it was a Colonel Petey who was actually the deep throat. He was the source of the material. He may have given it to this FBI agent, but both of them are dead, so we'll never know. And so the Cognoscenti know that it wasn't the FBI agent who was the original source. He may have been a conduit. So that maybe one day that will come out. Also today, we have Geraldine Ferraro, who recently died. She was the Democratic vice presidential nominee in 1984, the convention here in San Francisco. And, of course, so she had problems. Her husband was involved in all kinds of scandals. And I think she had a law degree, if I'm not mistaken. But she recently died of cancer, so God rest her soul. Among the deaths today, speaking of deaths, those of you who remember the 60s program presented, sponsored by Skippy Peanut Butter, Art Baker, gray-haired guy who used to intone "You Asked For It," and people he would select or his producers would select unusual questions and provide the answer on this TV show, which was in black and white during the 50s and the 60s, and it was sponsored, I believe, by Skippy Peanut Butter. And Art Baker used to say, "And you ask for it," and present the next episode in that, I think it was a half-hour program. Also today, Charles Lindbergh, Lucky Lindbergh, he died today. And I think he's buried in Hawaii. His wife was Anne Merle Lindbergh, Anne Merle, who whose father was ambassador to Mexico, I think, during the Woodrow Wilson administration. Anyway, last week we talked about General Schwarzkopf's father, who was the head of the New Jersey police, and is believed that helped Bruno Hauptmann into the electric chair claiming that Hauptmann kidnapped and murdered or caused the death of Charles Lindbergh's son. We'll never know, or maybe we wouldn't know one day. Werner Anderson, nice, very handsome man. Actor, played sterling roles. He died today. Charles Boyer, the penultimate Frenchman. Many roles he played. We came across in our archives a rare film called Meyerling, which is based on the Prince heir, the Archduke who was the heir to the Austrian throne after Franz Joseph I. And he got into an affair with this I don't know what you call it, a society, young society girl. It was a scandal in the Austrian nobility, just like Archduke Ferdinand, who married a commoner. Anyway, he couldn't, his father was opposed, Emperor Franz Joseph, who was probably the longest reigning modern monarch in our time. And so Charles Boyer and her and his Chichi committed suicide. He shot her and then shot himself at a hunting lodge called Meyerling. This is a rare film we came across in the archives. And those of you who remember Mary Tyler Moore, Ted Knight, who was the affable, bumbling editor, he died today. Among the events today, in the year 55 B.C., Julius Caesar invaded England. We don't know why, and then I guess he eventually built Hadrian's Wall to keep the Scotch out. Then the English... later in about 11th century in the battles in France of Richard the Lionhearted, people like that, the English developed the longbow bow and arrow, which is very effective against cavalry, and they defeated the French at the Battle of Crecy. And then another defeat, which had an effect on world history, the Germans in World War I under the leadership of von Hindenburg and General Ludendorff defeated the Russian Czarist armies at Tannenberg. That enabled, they thought by defeating the Russians and the Russian army, which was called the Big Juggernaut, 5 million men, that they could then turn the German armies around and bring them to the Western Front and get a quick victory on the Western Front in France before the United States had entered in World War I. And it didn't quite work out that way. Also, here's another controversy. In 1952 in San Francisco, they started fluoridation of the water. Now, There's some a lot of people are concerned about fluoridation, and we don't know. We see it in toothpaste now, even Tom's toothpaste, and I guess they couldn't sell it. Tom's of Maine, and so it was discounted, and we picked up some. I don't see the difference, but there are people who are concerned about fluoridation in our water and this in our toothpaste, and how it may affect our health. Just like aluminum cooking utensils may leach and cause problems with people's health. It's a controversy. Also, in 1978, this Pope, Cardinal Albino Luciano, was crowned Pope to succeed Pope Paul VI, and he was going to investigate, the new Pope was going to investigate the Vatican Bank. Well, he died mysteriously 34 days later. And what's interesting, those of you who have seen the last few or even the last, what they call consistory, all the cardinals around the world are summoned to Rome. They try to make it. The ones when the communists had the Iron Curtain, and there were cardinals in Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, Hungary, Cardinal Menzenti, they could not attend. They couldn't get out of the country. Couldn't get a passport or get the Russian permission to attend the consistory and Pope's election in Rome. So what had happened here, this guy is just crowned, and it takes a while to get these guys to Rome. It takes a week or 10 days and get them settled, and then they have to get shut up in the Vatican so there's no manipulation of the vote for Pope. Well, what happened was this guy was crowned and took the name John Paul I, and he lasted 34 days, and the cardinals had already left because they had crowned this new Pope. So they were on their way back to their home diocese, and they had to come back again because then this for this Pope's funeral, and then to elect another Pope. And so this time they decided we need somebody that's strong. The mystery about John Paul's the first death is another one of those mysteries, like Deep Throat. Anyway, so they had to stick around for the funeral and then to select a new Pope. And so they decided to go for a younger, stronger man, and that was the first foreign pope since Adrian. And this was and he took the name John Paul II, and he was the first pope from Poland. And he lasted, over 20 years. So, you know, the Catholic Church and its rituals are very interesting, even to non-Catholics and non-believers. One of the issues that we are concerned about is this is about polling. Now, I've done polling myself for various organizations and even market research, but one of the big outfits in this area called the Field Poll, and we try to find out these questions, answers to these questions, and it applies to other polling outfits around the country. You hear these polls, the most recent ones. The American public is disgusted with John Boehner and the Republicans as much as they're disgusted with the Democrats, or more so. So these are the questions that I pose, and these are the questions that you should pose as a citizen and a voter. Number one, who chooses the polling base? These are the people to be polled, the numbers of poll, and the demographic. What area? Who composes the questions that the pollsters ask the people who are being polled? I always ask, who put this question together? Because I've been polled, I've been called. Who checks or verifies the answers that the people polled give to the pollster? Never get an answer to that. Who pays for this polling? Never get an answer to that. What are the qualifications, if any, of the pollsters? We know that the field poll, the guy who runs it, Italian name, Latin name, is a computer expert. So we don't know if this is honest polling or things are rigged or what. No answers from these people. And we should get answers before we accept what they claim is their honest polling, and that represents the thinking and the opinions of the people of the state of California. And I understand that what they do is these closet liberal pollsters, they will pull people in San Francisco or Santa Monica, and it's like 10 to maybe 20,000 people, if that. And then they claim this represents the thinking of the state of California, where we have 30 million people. It doesn't make sense. So these are things that you ought to ask if you're being polled, if somebody calls you up, and should ask these questions before you give any answers. Find out who's asking the questions, who composed them, who pays for the polling, and who verifies if there's any verification, and how many people are polled, and why do they pick you? So, I mean, if you want honest polling, I suggest you do that. Now, there's another problem with the language that's being used in the media when they talk about, quote, illegal immigrants. The question is, how many of these media people, if any, have asked, gone out in the street and asked these people who are here, that they know are here illegally, are they coming here, the aliens, and are they coming here to become American citizens, or are they coming here looking for work because there's no work or little work or not enough work in this country from which they came from? You know, this question is never asked, and I've been trying to nail this one down for years. And these people are not immigrants. You'll find this out if you ask them yourself. They are aliens who are looking for work up here. They generally find this menial work. They do the dirty work that Americans won't do. I had suggested to Jesse Jackson to get these black kids out of the ghettos in the summer in our cities, and to get a program together so that get them out into the fresh air on the farms and in the vineyards. Well, I don't know if they work in the vineyards. It's more expert. You need training for that, and nobody wants their grapes ruined. Otherwise, you get vinegar. But anyway, what is wrong with getting these kids together and sending them out to the farming areas for the summer, getting a program funded so that they have money to live in and they live in decent conditions? Because a lot of these illegal immigrants or illegal aliens, who work in these farming areas have dilapidated housing. They have the company store. They've been ripped off. Their women have been raped. They've been abused. All kinds of scandals. They've been exposed to pesticides. It's not right to them, and they can't fight back because they're here illegally. But we correct all these things for these kids who are to be brought out to the farms for the summer and let them work in the fields. It isn't going to hurt them to bend their backs and get down and get their fingernails, get dirt under their fingernails, and to get dirty. But to put some money aside for when they leave in the fall, so that they want to go to trade schools, they want to go to college, or whatever, take a vacation or whatever, that they have some money that they was put aside for them in the program, and they also had money, they earned money while they were working during the summer, and they got them out of the ghetto, kept them out of trouble. But no answer to Jesse Jackson. Years ago, when I was working for a federal program as a program analyst, I got fired because I was a whistleblower, and I'll do it again. But anyway, I had to investigate or review Jesse Jackson's Operation Push. I went down to the south side of Chicago, and his operation was in a former Catholic church called Corpus Christi. And beautiful church, and what he had was a food stamp operation and a CB operation, which was for people who claimed that they were abused by the Chicago police, that they could report it to Jesse Jackson's a CB operation, and he would publicize these alleged violations. Well, and there was a lot of hype about Jesse Jackson's operation. And when I came back to the office, I wrote down two words. I reported what I had seen and had documented, and I came to the conclusion that this was a lot of political hoop, so I called it Operation Poof instead of Operation Push. Jesse has never forgiven me for that, but that's okay. So, you know, we need to use correct language. And, you know, these people are not coming here to become citizens, and I dare anybody to go out in the street and ask any number of these people who are waiting on street corners to be picked up to do the menial work that Americans can't or won't do or are unable to do. And I'll bet you they'll tell you, and I've asked several of them, that we're here because we need the money to send back to our relatives and family in Mexico or South America. And during the holidays, they go back. And by the way, you can go to Amicus Veritas and you can see how these illegal aliens, how they survive in urban areas. Go to AMICUSVERITAS and look up what I've documented and what other people have documented that we worked with regarding the status and the lifestyle and the survival of these illegal aliens. I'm not going to get caught on that again. And then another question that should be asked, why do they come to the United States? Why don't they go to Mexico or to Canada, which is, they also have big agricultural areas up there in Toronto, not Toronto, but Ontario, Quebec, and the provinces, Alberta, Saskatchewan, British Columbia. They have orchards up there, and they're right next, you know, the border is right next to the Okanagan Valley, which is very big in apples, grow apples and other fruits. So these are questions that need to be asked of these people who are here illegally, and stop calling them illegal immigrants. They're not. They're aliens. So, you know, the time we have truth in the media and to be accurate, to do the homework, to do the research. Let's see, what are we going to play here to end today? I was going to do our pets in prison, but and it's one of my pet projects, no pun intended. But I think this is important, again, since we're all concerned about the budget. I'm going to play Calvin Coolidge again. He was trashed by somebody, and I think we need to recognize that Silent Cal wasn't silent on the issue of deficits in the budget. Here we go. What happened here?
Country needs every ounce of its energy to restore itself. The costs of government are all assessed upon the people. This means that the farmer is doomed to provide a certain amount of money out of the sale of his produce, no matter how low the price, to pay his taxes. The manufacturer, the professional man, the clerk, must do the same from their income. The wage earner, often at a higher rate when compared with his earning, makes his contribution perhaps not directly, but indirectly in the advanced cost of everything he buys. The expenses of the government reach everybody. Taxes take from everyone a part of his earnings and force everyone to work for a certain part of his time for the government. When we come to realize that the yearly expenses of the governments of this country, the stupendous sum of about $7,500,000,000, we get $700,000,000 is needed by the national government and the remainder by local government. Such a sum is difficult to comprehend. It represents all the pay of 5 million wage earners receiving $5 a day, working 300 days in the year. If the government should add $100 million of expense, it would represent 4 days more work of these wage earners. These are some of the reasons why I want to cut down public expense. I want the people of America to be able to work less for the government and more for themselves. I want them to have the rewards of their own industry. This is the chief meaning of freedom. Until we can reestablish a condition under which the earnings of the people can be kept by the people, we are bound to suffer a very severe and distinct curtailment of our liberty. These results are not fanciful. They are not imaginary. They are grimly actual and real, reaching into every household in the land. They take from each home annually an average of over $300, and taxes must be paid. They are not a voluntary contribution to be met out of surplus earnings. They are a stern necessity. They come first. It is only out of what is left after they are paid that the necessities of food, clothing, and shelter can be provided, and the comforts of home secured, are the yearnings of the soul for a broader and more abundant life gratified. When the government effects a new economy, it grants everybody a life pension with which to raise the standard of existence. It increases the value of everybody's property and raises the scale of everybody's wages. One of the greatest favors that can be bestowed upon the American people is economy in government.
Well, that was in Calvin Coolidge's administration, and he succeeded Harding, who died here in San Francisco at the Sheraton Palace Hotel. And I think, and other people, even though Calvin's been trashed, that what he says about the deficit and the budget back then applies even more so today. So, and we'll be back Monday, and we're trying to get our other, we hope to have this lawyer who's going to tell you how you can do your own case. But I'll add a caveat. There are several caveats or several things you should be aware of. You just don't go diving in. I mean, people do prosecute their own cases in small claims court and no fault of divorce, but there are other things you can do because litigation is costly. It's ironic that we have more and more young lawyers coming out of law school, even passing the bar, that can't get jobs, that the profits of the big law firms, according to New York Times, have been inflated. They're actually less. We have, and I've done this again, documented on amicusveritas.org, AmicusVeritas, YouTube. Lawyers are hanging around the courthouse passing out their card trying to drum up business. And these are guys who got out of law school, passed the bar years ago. And that's how bad it is. Maybe this society, our society, is over-lawyered. Maybe we should cut back on public financing of an establishment and maintaining public law schools and instead provide scholarships and grants and loans to students who want to go to study law, but let them go to a private law school. We'll deal with that in another show. Anyway, we're going to, like all of our politics, it's poker. And it's smoke-filled rooms. Usually that smoke is, it used to be marijuana, it used to be cigars, then it became cannabis, and now it may be snorting cocaine. But here we go, politics and poker to end this weekend.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game for children, neither game is rough.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your
raise you five.
I'll fold. I'll raise you back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Well, that's where a lot of these politicians and media people should do, put their money where their mouth is and put their bodies where their beliefs are. This is Tito Paul Brazola. We'll be back Monday at 5 o'clock. Thank you for listening. This will remain up in the archives. I think you can download it on iPod. Good night.